company.
You know, one of the things that makes it so interesting for you, Howard, is the fact that you're not only are you well acquainted with the role that prayer plays in our lives in general, but also the role that it plays in our lives specifically when it comes to healing, but you are intimately involved in ministry, and you have that recognition of the role that prayer plays, and still you have the psoriasis. What I know that a lot of times when people have any kind of illness, they are looking for a cure. They're hoping for a cure. Even if it doesn't come, for a while they look for it. I'm curious as to what some of the routes that you went, what were some of the treatments that you tried over the years, and whether you were hopeful each time that this treatment will be the cure, or at the very least, this is the one that will make this illness so minimal that it almost be as though I don't have it. And what kind of ride was that for you emotionally?
Yeah, it's been a crazy ride emotionally. You know, the treatments have really advanced in the last 10 to 15 years in immunology. But before that, it was messy creams, smelly creams. Imagine going to a tar pit. You know, you smell that tar when your roof is getting tarred, and that smell is it's one of the treatments for skin disease. Is you put tar in like an ointment like Vaseline, and you put it on all night, or you put it in plastic wrap. You put plastic wrap around your skin so that your pores can open up and take the medicine. And you do that for hours, and it stains everything. It's messy. It's horrible. There are a lot of treatments like that that burn. Another treatment is phototherapy. You use light. There's ultraviolet light. Like, you have it in the sun. It's what burns you, but it's also what can help with skin inflammation. But one time I had a horrible burn. If you imagine your sunburn that you might get going out to the beach times 50, you know, I was burned for a whole month.
Wow.
From that artificial bulb. And so just taking a shower was painful, just wiping, you know, just toweling off. So I've just been through a lot of difficult, painful medications. Then you go to pills, and one of the pills is super toxic to the liver. So I've had 3 liver biopsies in my 20s. All came back negative, but they had to do them. And then others are toxic to kidneys. So you go through a lot of fear with the side effects. Medications may not even work that well. And so you're doing all these things, and your skin is not responding. It's pretty depressing. And that's why I said before, quality of life for people with severe psoriasis can be quite low. Even, you know, suicide rates, anxiety rates are pretty high. So when you talk about the emotional aspect, right now there's a lot of great drugs that have a lot more efficacy. They're a lot more powerful. They're all mostly injectables. So you have to inject yourself, which is a difficult thing to do at first. I know some people who are diabetic or you need insulin, they do that. But
yes.
You know, for a skin disease, you wouldn't think you have to inject yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But even those aren't 100%. And, you know, and then you have other health. As I get older, I have other health issues come into play, like with my eyes or other skin issues. So it's an ongoing thing. It's a chronic thing. And it never ends. And that's part of, I think, the emotional duress of it all, is that the anxiety of what's going to happen next. Is there going to be a good enough treatment? If you don't have that, your life can be a wreck. You know, what's going to happen? It's quite weighing on you.
How are you able to, and I'm saying you can answer this generally or you can answer specifically or both, the person with psoriasis. You know, most of us, you know, a lot of us can just, you know, we get ready to go to the gym, we get ready to go to the track, whatever it is that we want to do to get in some exercise, we don't give a second thought. We just throw our clothes on and go and do what we're going to do. But it sounds like that is a challenge for a person with psoriasis.
Yeah, especially going, you know, you talk about the gym or you go to a pool or anything public, because if you show your skin, people, they don't know what it is. People with skin diseases are highly stigmatized in society. I've been in pools, so I don't go to public pools anymore, but when I did, they would run me out. And they would just, you know, because they think you have something contagious. And it can be, you know, when it's severe, it's flaring, it can also just inhibit your movement. And You know, a lot of my friends and colleagues who have psoriasis have arthritis as well. People might not know, but there's an arthritic component, which I'm grateful I don't have that, but I can see how much that inhibits people's movement. And, you know, young people, too. Their teens or 20s have arthritis. It's hard to see, but, you think twice about a lot of things, wearing short sleeves, wearing shorts, 100 degrees out, you might still cover up if you're not feeling it, or going to get your hair cut. You know, if you don't know that barber, what are they going to say when they see that on your scalp?
Mm-hmm. So a lot is going on. A lot of things that many people wouldn't even think about. But you got to keep going. Life goes on, and you got to live it the best you can. And one of the things that you shared with me is that something that has helped you tremendously is taking a holistic approach to dealing with psoriasis.
Yeah, if psoriasis or any illness, especially chronic illness that is unremitting, you know, if it's affecting your whole person, including your emotions, your spirit, your relationships, you know, your ability to work, then why wouldn't you approach it holistically? And so, you know, recently I wrote this blog on everyday health. I have a psoriasis blog on everyday health that I've been writing for about 10 years. I'm kind of the well-being, inspirational, spiritual kind of writing that I do on there. And so I did a blog on prayer. And just as I looked into some of the studies, I saw that people who have, you know, who have severe illnesses or who have illnesses, they pray. The quote I saw is 85%, but there's tons of studies out there that I'd never even known about that talked about how prayer is a major aspect of how people approach illness, and not just for healing, but in helping them in their experience of that illness. And I think that's what we're talking about, the emotional, spiritual aspect as well.
So what are some of the benefits specifically of prayer?
They talk about some of the physical benefits, and, you know, for people who may not be religious or believers, they would still talk about meditation or prayer. Meditation wouldn't have a higher being that you would connect with, and prayer, normally that's the distinction between prayer and meditation, but there's this relaxation response. This one doctor from Harvard Medical School, Dr. Herbert Benson, I was reading up on him a little bit. And he talks about how in prayer and meditation, the body's metabolism decreases, and the heart rate slows, blood pressure goes down, which, you know, is a great benefit to your health, and breath becomes calmer and more regular. And so there's this response, almost like when you go to sleep, there's a relaxation that allows your body to be restored and to heal. And just that's from a physical standpoint. And, you know, I have an Apple Watch, and I have an app that measures sleep. And so it's really interesting that when I'm in worship or in deep prayer, it thinks I'm sleeping. So sometimes I might be, but I know my congregation will say sometimes they pray and they fall asleep. But no, when I'm not sleeping, I'm praying, and I'm connecting with God or just being quiet, I have that physical response, which is healing physically. But I think there are also, obviously there are benefits beyond that, just quieting down, relaxing. We live in a hustle and bustle world, and there's always so many things going on. Just to clear your mind.
Yes.
And just to realize that your problems are not your own. And I think that's a big part for me, that when something big comes, that I know that God is there for me, that I can depend on Him, and that He's gotten me through so many difficulties in the past. That He will walk through the valley of the shadow of death with me, that He is my good shepherd. And when I have that confidence, it calms me as well.
When we come back, you know, you were mentioning just in that the prayer helps you relax to the point where your Apple Watch thinks that you're asleep. When we come back, can you tell us how something that is a little different from that, but also beneficial, helps you, and that is how prayer helps to lift your spirits.
Okay.
All right, everyone, let's hear about that when Howard Cheng and I get back together with you in just a few. How prayer can not only relax, but it can lift. Just a few.